Yes, we are back in the Gospel of John, or the literary apology for the divinity of Christ. The sixth chapter, beginning with the 47th verse. I am telling you the most solemn and sober truth now. Whoever believes in me has real life, eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna bread in the desert and died. But now here is bread that truly come down out of heaven. Anyone eating this bread will not die ever. I am the bread, living bread, who came down out of heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. The bread that I present to the world so that it can eat and live is myself. This is flesh and blood self. At this, the Jews started fighting among themselves. How can this man serve up his flesh for a meal? But Jesus didn't give an inch. Only insofar as you eat and drink flesh and blood, the flesh and blood of the Son of Man, do you have life within you. The one who brings a hearty appetite to this eating and drinking has eternal life and will be fit and ready for the final day. My flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. By eating my flesh and drinking my blood, you enter into me, and I into you. In the same way that the fully alive Creator sent me here, and I live because of the Creator, so the one who makes a meal of me lives because of me. This is the bread of heaven. Your ancestors ate bread and later died. Whoever eats this bread will live always.
That wasn't me.
By the way, a reminder, when you're in church, shut off your phones.
Silence them.
Or turn them down.
Where were we?
Now, I know that there's a whole bunch of people that listened to that and just went, oh God, yeah, yuck, horrible, awful. There's other people who...
think of communion.
Who go, this is not hard to explain. I mean, for all those people out there that take Scripture literally, you understand, of course, that at the time that Jesus was preaching this, that they were having a problem with it. Maybe just like some of you having it. What do you mean we're going to actually, we're not cannibals? Hello? That's why I titled the sermon what I did, The Ultimate Metaphor. But there's something interesting about this, is that I really think that in society today, we have forgotten what a metaphor is, because we've got the same thing going on now. You know, Mike and I were talking about it, we were all talking about it this morning, about all the garbage that's on Facebook, right? How many people just simply talk in metaphoric language, and everybody takes off and runs with it? Amen? You know? Oh, did you hear what so-and-so said? In the exegesis of this, I want to read this quote to you. Once again, the reader of this passage has to understand the difference between literal and metaphorical interpretation of Jesus' words. Through the centuries, and especially since the Reformation in the 16th century, the church has struggled with this problem. Now, some of you might be sitting there going, what? Really? Struggle? I mean, isn't it obvious? But it's not. The various doctrines about the sacrament, i.e., communion, gets called transubstantiation, consubstantiation, representation, or memorial. They all find support in this particular viewpoint. In his daily Bible readings on this passage, theologian William Barclay proposes a solution to the dilemma by explaining what lies behind John's reflection. Listen to this carefully. In those times, everyone, Jew or Gentile, would have been familiar with the offerings of burnt sacrifices at the altar. This occurred in both Jewish and in Gentile traditions. Only a token of the sacrificial animal would be burned. A portion, a portion was reserved for the priests, and the remainder would be shared by the guests for a feast. The host of the feast was believed to be the God whom the sacrifice was offered. Did you all stay with that? Because that's really important before we go running off and decide that Christianity is all about cannibalism. The sacrifice that was made to God was but a small part, and then when you made a feast, which you fed the hungry, then you participated in that belief system. So you've got Jesus then saying, I am the bread of life. What's he pointing at? The sacrifice that he would ultimately make when they arrested him on political issues and killed him. That when we believe in what the teachings are of Jesus, this is how we have our connection with God. Now, I'll tell you something. I was thinking that this was going to be hard to explain, and then I came across the absolute perfect way to explain Jesus as the bread of life. Are you ready? Here we go. There's a story about a minister. He's walking along the ocean, and he's got his son with him, small boy. And the boy is questioning his father about Sunday sermon. And the boy says, Dad, I cannot understand how Christ can live in us and we live in him at the same time. Now, I'm going to stop there for a second and say to you all, if you're honest, you got that same issue. That's why we have a hard time, right? Praying to something we can't see. Because, you know, right? Well, they get down the beach and the father notices an empty bottle. Has a cork in it. And he picks up the bottle and he walks to the ocean and he fills it half full with water. He recorks it and he flings it out into the ocean. And him and his son are watching it bob up and down. And the minister says to his son, the sea is in the bottle, and the bottle is in the sea. Listen to that again. The sea is in the bottle, and the bottle is in the sea. That is the life that we have in Christ. We have Christ in us. Therefore, we understand that then as the bread of life. And why is it the bread of life? Have you noticed, folks, I know it's been talked about here, that people have just gotten ugly. People have just gotten ugly. And so my challenge to you today is to decide something. Do you want to be a vulture or do you want to be a hummingbird? Do you know what the difference is between a vulture and a hummingbird? A vulture does what? It circles looking for what? What's already dead. It's living on the past. It's living on the carnage that has gone on before it. And have you ever noticed? I don't want to be too judgmental, but vultures, have you ever seen a vulture up close? They are one ugly bird. Amen? And you know, there's a message in there for us. When we live in the past, we have a tendency to do what? Get pretty ugly. You know, I noticed that on Facebook, all the arguments that are going on about vaccinations and so forth and so on, they've gotten really ugly. And you know why? Because people are looking for everything that's negative. Nobody is talking about the positive. Hallelujah. Nobody is talking about the families that have come together. We're not talking about the good things that have come out of COVID. Amen. I know that we don't want to do that. But we got to. Look, we're on Facebook Messenger this morning. Why? Because of what? COVID. Amen. We would not be here because we weren't thinking about that. We were just thinking about doing service. Amen. Amen. Which, by the way, brings me to my other option, the hummingbird. What does a hummingbird do? A hummingbird, have you ever looked at a hummingbird? They're really pretty. They're beautiful in their colors. And what are they looking for? They're looking for live flowers. They are looking for that which is alive. And the nourishment that they get in sharing with what is alive causes them to be beautiful. You got a choice this morning. When Jesus tells you that he is the bread of life, and that in him, by doing what he teaches us to do, that's where you get to be what? A hummingbird. Amen? As opposed to a vulture that is feeding on the carnage that is all around us. I'm telling you this morning, we have a choice that you can make. You can decide what you're going to eat. You know, a friend of mine said, you know, we are what we eat. Okay? And we all know that. There are people out there that have eating disorders, amen? And it shows. And it's because of what they eat that causes them to gain weight. There are people that eat out of control because it's stress. And it does awful things to them. Diabetics are really challenged in what they can eat. There are other people that have digestive issues that have to be careful what they eat. So folks, again, Jesus is offering us a way to live a full life. When he says that he is the bread of life, that means that he is in you and you are in him. Why do you think I tell you every day, get up, look in the mirror, and claim that promise of God? You are wonderfully and uniquely made in the image of God. I had somebody tell me this week that they would get to that point, they were doing that whole business, right? I am wonderfully and uniquely made in the image of God. And then they were stopping and they would go, and I want to know why. Hello? The answer's right here. Jesus is the bread of life. And if Jesus is in you and you are in Jesus, then you recognize you are wonderfully and uniquely made in the image of God. You see, what I'm really hammering at here, folks, we get to choose whether we're going to be happy or not. We get to choose whether we're going to celebrate our lives or not. We get to choose whether everybody's going to heaven, by the way. I know that that's going to cause some controversy because some of you immediately went to the negative side of the street and goes, well, what about, never mind that. Listen to what I said. Everybody's going to heaven. That includes you. And if everybody's going to heaven, then you might as well figure out how to live with them now. Amen. We could spend our time being a bunch of vultures, living on the carnage from the past. Or we could be a hummingbird. I don't know if you've ever heard of the pastor by the name of Harry Emerson Fosdick. He was at the height of his influence at Riverside Church in New York. And he was making a tour of Palestine and other countries in the Near and Middle East. He was invited to give an address at the American University of Beirut in Lebanon, where the student body was comprised of citizens of many countries and representatives of 16 different religions. What could one say that would be relevant or of interest to such a mixed and varied group? And he come up with the question that I want to leave with you today. I do not ask everyone here to change their religion, but I do ask all of you to face this question. What is your religion doing to your character? the bread of life? What is your religion doing to your character? Bread of life. Hummingbird or vulture? God bless you this morning.